This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You're not special.
Sorry, jeez.
I wasn't talking to you, Paulie.
Okay.
Wasn't talking to Woods in our YouTube stream. Not talking to the tier ones.
Who's not special?
I will tell you momentarily. Final hour here, Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on The Fan is brought to you by U.S. Wellness Meats. Overwhelmed by processed foods, U.S. Wellness Meats offers an all-natural alternative. 100% grass-fed beef, pork, poultry, wild-caught seafood, and more. Ship free from family farms. Get 20% off your first order at uswellnessmeats.com. No, the answer to that question, the Dodgers are not special. They're just not. I'm not saying they're not good, and I'm not saying they might not be the best team in the National League. They could still win the World Series, but for what we thought, that this could be a truly, you know, historic baseball team, so far from that, so far from that. The Dodgers are riddled with flaws. San Diego Padres, you're not special either. You know what? Philadelphia Phillies, you're not special. Mets, definitely not special. Cubs, you've had some special things. Brewers, they're having a special kind of month here. But ultimately, what I've come to realize about the National League, Pauly, there are no special teams this year, which actually means it's wide open for any of those teams to win the NL and possibly the World Series this year. And we did not know if that was going to be true at the beginning of the season.
Do you think, I know where you're going here, is there still more to be written? Yes.
Well,
can this change?
Someone is going to have a special postseason because, you know, a National League team has to make it to the World Series.
Right.
So someone is going to turn it into a special season. But when you're talking about approaching the trade deadline, it's not only about evaluating your own team and what you need and what you think your chances are. You've got to look at the rest of the league. If the Dodgers were currently sitting, they're 58-42. 3.5 games ahead of the Padres. If the Dodgers were currently like, I don't know, 80-20 and on their way to 127 wins,
right,
and looked absolutely unbeatable, you'd go, why am I trying to improve, you know, my 8-9 hitters when now we're only 25 games behind them instead of 30 games behind them? You have to look at context in terms of if we're going to go for it, do we have an actual chance to win? And one of the biggest takeaways from the first now 4 months of the baseball season almost complete is, yeah, any of those top six teams at least in the National League. I can see any one of those six teams in the World Series. I really don't think that there's anyone that has said, oh, yeah, they've definitely got a much better chance than anybody else. I mean, still the Dodgers are the favorite, you know, odds-wise, Fangraphs-wise, because they have potential help and starting pitching coming back. But again, they've lost all six games to the Milwaukee Brewers. They might have to face the Brewers in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be looking forward to that. Mookie Betts has had a miserable season.
Yeah.
He got benched on Saturday. I mean, day off, whatever you want to call it. They put him in a leadoff spot,
really
trying to
bad.
Mix things up. They are a team in disarray right now in Los Angeles. I mean, they're still very good. I'm not saying they're not. They have Shohei Ohtani, still the biggest freak baseball player
Freddie
on the
Freeman's
planet.
Day-to-day. Got,
Freddie Freeman
the game.
Is, yeah. I think the x-rays were negative, but they have not been at all a special baseball team, which means, yeah, you're absolutely still
in
it.
They may not be having a special year that everybody assumed they would have, but do they not still terrify you?
Terrify? No, they don't. They don't terrify me. They certainly are a force to be reckoned with and will be going forward. What they can buy is the ability to have an absolutely miserable season and still be in first place.
Yeah.
That's what they bought.
They just stay 3 or 4 games ahead in the division and eventually clinch the division mid to late September, and then all of a sudden they get the one seed and they go on a roll, and there you go.
100 games in, 58-42. So 580 winning percentage. That's probably the absolute floor of what the Dodgers thought they could be. If everything goes wrong, yeah, maybe about 58-42 is where we're going to sit 100 games into the season. So They are certainly still a very dangerous team, but they're not someone that you go, well, we might as well just not even compete this year because they're just so far and away better than anyone else. We have no chance. That is not the case with this LA Dodgers team. I watched them play. This is a messy baseball team. It's a messy baseball team right now.
It's crazy how much is going to change between now and when we next face them in August. And I cannot wait for those 2 weeks or the week span where we face them twice. Because I do feel like we're a better team right now.
Well, okay, Padres play their 100th game tonight. If they win, they will get to 55 wins in 100 games. The Detroit Tigers are the best team in baseball right now. They're at 60 wins in 100 games. They're 60-40. Dodgers, again, are 58-42. Are you telling me...
Oh, there's a lot of parity in baseball.
Are you telling me there's not three or four wins in these first 100 that you thought, oh, man, Padres threw a few of those games away that they should have?
Yeah, like, there's also a few games that they won,
of course,
and had no
but
business winning.
I think overall, when we look at the past, especially 2 months, we go, Padres really should have played two or three games better each month in May and June, and probably should have about 62 wins right now and have the best record in baseball. If we're really looking at the disappointment of Padres fans with how the team has played, sub 500 baseball since they were, 11 games above 500 at, what were they, 17-6 or something like that? So they've been two games under 500 since then. If they had played, four or five games above 500, certainly something this team is capable of doing over the past 2 months, they would be sitting with the best record in baseball right now. It wouldn't have been that hard to actually get there. They've had to play pretty crappy, mediocre, bad offensive baseball for 2 months to not have the best record in baseball right now, but still be absolutely in the thick of things and 2.5 games up in a wild card spot and only 3.5 games behind the Dodgers. You told me the Padres could play 2 months of mediocre baseball and the Dodgers would still just be 3.5 games ahead of them. I would have thought no chance this season. Dodgers will be 15 games up at this point. But no, they're right there because
they're chipping away at that lead.
The Dodgers,
sure,
they're just not special. They're just not. They got some good players. They got some good bullpen guys. They give the Padres trouble for certain. But I would love to see get my shot at them in the playoffs again. Another series. Another opportunity in October against the Dodgers and see how they do.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in baseball right now, which is good if you're a Padres fan and you're saying, hey, like, AJ, let's go all in. I mean, come on. It's open for anybody to grab this year, but it's also open for everybody else. Every one of those teams that you just said isn't special, they're all thinking the same exact thing. Hey, we got a real shot this year. Everyone said the Dodgers were going to run away to 115 plus wins and cruise to another World Series, a second one in a row, and that's just not happening, at least right now. That's not coming to fruition. So every one of those teams that are in contention and have one of the top seven records in Major League Baseball, they're all thinking the same thing. Let's buy. Let's go crazy at this deadline.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you at this point? Goose asking in the chat, are the Tigers special? Looking in the American League, Tarek Skubal is special. Tigers are not special. They're a good version of this Tigers team and probably the best team in the American League.
I'd say they're having a special season.
No, they just snapped a 6-game losing streak, so that was special yesterday. Good job by the special team in the American League,
man,
snapping a 6-game skid. I mean, the Blue Jays are having a nice season. They're not special. Yankees are definitely not special. Red Sox are not special. The Astros, I mean, the Mariners, no. I mean, there's no real special teams in baseball this year. Everybody's got a shot. This is probably as wide open as it's been heading into a trade deadline. Certainly in any recent memory that I have, there's really no one that's totally separated themselves from the field in Major League Baseball this year, which is great. It's very entertaining. That means, the Padres are one of about, 14, 15 teams that probably can still say, yeah, I think we can still win the World Series at this point.
Yeah.
That's going to make for a trade deadline, though, that's an absolute mess here in a couple of weeks. Because, I mean, who wants to sell? Even the Angels are still 49-50 and only 4 games out of a playoff spot. I mean, the Angels, who should have been dead and buried months ago. The Rangers, 3.5 games out of a playoff spot. We talked earlier about potential, Craig talked about potentially trading with the Texas Rangers. Do you really think that Chris Young and Boach, 3.5 spot, are going to be eager to deal guys away? They just took 2 or 3 from the special Detroit Tigers who aren't special. I mean, I don't know. It's just parody. It's parody around Major League Baseball this year.
It is, but I don't know, man. I'm still very cautious and nervous with the Dodgers because they haven't lived up to the hype that everyone had predicted before the season started. I'm not ready to be like, oh, yeah, we can take them. Let's go.
Luis is saying you can fully hear the flagship hire in Ben. I said the Padres aren't special either. Padres are not special at all in this group. They're not. They're just one of many teams that can win the World Series. So go ahead.
I mean, a glass half empty person would say they're lucky to even be considered in this group of
right,
other
but
teams.
Go ahead and take it. I mean, if no one else wants to go ahead and take it, then go ahead and grab it. You've never won a World Series before. There's certainly nothing standing in your way this year from at least, you know, taking that shot, getting hot at the end of the season, making the playoffs, and going in a run in October. There is no world-beating team. You're not meeting the 1998 New York Yankees in the World Series. You're not meeting the 1984 Detroit Tigers in the World Series. And the Dodgers aren't either of those teams that we thought they were going to be. They're beatable. They're tough. I would probably say they'd be the favorite in a series, a five-gamer or a seven-gamer against the Padres is currently constructed. They'll probably only get better. Hopefully the Padres will also get better. But they're not unbeatable. They are definitely, definitely beatable from what I have seen from the Dodgers this season.
Well, that's why I said I'm excited to see them again next month. And we'll see what both teams look like after the deadline. Because I am ready to get another crack at them. But up until this point, what are we, 2-5?
Two and five.
So, I mean, kind of tough to say that they're very beatable.
Potters will need something magical.
They're very beatable if you're the Brewers.
I mean, you know, is it likely to happen? But let's say they acquire Luis Robert at the trade deadline. Is he going to be the worst player in baseball? Or he finds some magic waters in San Diego on a competitive team and do what his talent is capable of? And, you know, 12 home runs down the stretch. All of a sudden, now the Padres look like a legitimate threat. If they get this trade deadline right and get a little lucky, because even A.J. Preller can't predict what a guy like that is going to do if he acquired him, the Padres would be a very dangerous team down the stretch. As currently constructed, the Padres are not that dangerous. There's still too many holes in the bottom of their order, too many question marks. You know, there are flaws that other teams will exploit. But they could be. They could get to that point where they'd be a very dangerous team down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Helps if Xander keeps hitting. That was an interesting part of our conversation with Dennis Lynn in our last segment, is Xander Bogaerts and what is really making him hot right now. And I kind of tend to agree with, whether it was AC or wherever I read it, that perhaps health is the biggest key for Xander. And when he's feeling healthy, he can hit over 300. He can give you some doubles, a little bit of power, and, you know, he's still playing really good defense. He can be maybe not a $25 million a year player, but he can be an anchor, a really solid five hitter in Major League Baseball in a good lineup. When he's not healthy, he's useless. He's almost like a zero. And we saw that with the wrist. We saw that with the shoulder. Maybe he shouldn't have been out there, you know, in large chunks of the last 2 years when he was trying to play. And I'll give him some credit for being a gamer and going out there. When Manny Machado goes out and is a gamer, he still finds ways to generally produce.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the month of June. Was it last year when he hurt his ankle, played for a month? He wasn't good, but he was out there. I mean, it's always the question. Are you doing more harm than good?
Was that when he...
For your team, when you're going out there less than 100% and really not able to produce the way you're capable of.
That was when he chose not to go on the IL.
Correct.
And we're like, well, now as many games as it's been that he isn't out there, you might as well have just gone on the IL.
But then he came back and played for 3 weeks and really hit like 200. Probably cost him an MVP award.
Yeah,
by doing that.
A couple years ago.
That was 2 years ago when he did that. Yeah. So, I mean, the other question is, X knows, there's really no one ready to step in and help the team. If he does, like, take, all right, yeah, give me 2 weeks, 3 weeks off, and I'll get healthy. Who's going to play for him?
Right.
You know, I'm good enough to go out there and be at least as good as anyone that you don't have in your depth chart. So, you know, maybe he is making the best choice for both himself and the team. But right now he looks healthy, got a cortisone shot, and, you know, swinging the bat well. And, you know, the longer this lasts, the better, obviously, for the San Diego Padres. Productive Xander changes their lineup immensely.
No kidding, dude.
When he's not just the automatic out in the fifth hole or the sixth hole in your lineup, just changes everything so much. And it's been fun to see Xander contribute.
It's been fun. I mean, look, I wish the contract wasn't ever offered, but
he's never going to live up to that contract.
So stop
even talking about it.
He will never live up to it, and it was not a good signing. But he's going to be here for a long time, and we really have no way of changing that. So all we can do is hope that we get some good production out of him, and it's been fun to watch over the last. Four to six weeks?
Yes. Xander has been an absolutely productive, positive Major League Baseball player. If not $25 million, certainly someone I'm happy to pay $15 to $20 million for the kind of production that they've gotten out of Xander Bogaerts over the last month. That's fine. Everyone knew it was going to be bit of an overpay. I'm okay with a bit of an overpay. What I wasn't okay with is, you're overpaying him by $23 million a year every year.
His best year, when this contract is said and done, whatever his best year with the Padres is, whether it's this year, whether it was his first year, I don't know. Whether it's going to be in 3 years,
he's completely healthy next year and has a really good season. Yeah.
But I still, whatever that best year looks like, it still won't be $25 million a year. No. And that's just the way it is.
And we knew that the day he was signed. Yeah. We really did, if we were being honest with ourselves, which is fine.
You want to talk about like being backed into a corner. Like there's no win for Xander.
You're always going to overpay for some players, usually veterans, and you're going to underpay for some other players who are coming up. That's part of the baseball math equation. You just want to not overpay by too much for the older guys, and you'd like to underpay by more for the young guys who are coming up in the big leagues. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back before the Rindle Report, we've got some tickets to give away for everybody who stayed tuned. Your opportunity to win a couple of tickets to the Padres-Mets game next week when they come back from this road trip. It'll be a sandless beach towel night at Petco Park on Tuesday. Your opportunity to win a pair of tickets coming up with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I want to talk about SDFatLoss.com. Right now, SDFatLoss.com having a huge summer sale. You can get almost 20% off their lowest prices of the year. Even better deal right now. And you can start the program during your summer break, or you can start it after your summer vacation if you've got things planned. I lost my weight during the summer, though, up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of my body weight in 60 days. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days with no prepackaged meals, no injections, certainly no surgery, nothing like that. You're kind of changing your metabolism. Lower your metabolic age by following the doctor-developed strategies at SDFatLoss.com. Your counselor will coach you through it. You can lose weight fast and save big now through August 1st. Please take advantage of the opportunity. Again, no exercise necessary to lose this weight. You just follow the plan, eat foods from the grocery store, even go out to eat, and still lose weight. Again, up to a pound of fat per day. Get your free consultation by going online to SDFatLoss.com. And again, take advantage of the huge summer sale. Get 20% off now through August 1st at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. Before you get too excited about the Padres beating up on the lowly Marlins tonight, I'll tell you a little bit about tonight's starting pitcher for the Marlins, Eury Pérez. I believe it's the first time the Padres have ever faced him. Six hits, one run on a solo home run. That's not a bad start, but that wasn't his last start. That's his entire month of July. Six hits and one run allowed in three starts. Went six innings against the Twins in a 4-1 win, one hit shutout. Went five innings, gave up two hits and a solo home run in a 12-2 win over the Reds. And went seven innings, three hits, no runs, six strikeouts against a Baltimore Orioles in an 11-1 win. He's been dominant. Right-hander has been dominant. 22-year-old young prospect for the Marlins that's who the Padres will be facing tonight in Game 1.
Super cool.
Of their series with Randy Vasquez on the mound. So, the Marlins overall may not be a good team.
But, of course, we're getting a guy on an absolute heater.
Yeah, he's got 21 strikeouts this month against one walk, one run allowed in 18 innings, and just six hits for a whip of about, .4 for the entire month. They're facing one of the toughest pitchers in baseball right now tonight. So, Mackenzie Gore also was very good, made the All-Star game, and they scored eight runs off of him in two-plus innings yesterday. So They will be tested in tonight's game. Randy Vasquez will be on the mound for the Padres. Game two, I have not seen any official announcement for the Padres as to who will throw in the game. I would assume it's Ryan Burgert. He's up and it's his turn in the rotation.
Right.
But everything I've seen remains TBD, undecided. Edward Cabrera will go in game two for the Marlins. He is also pretty good.
He's having a good year.
Not quite as good as Yuri Perez, but 3-4, 3.61 ERA. Not as hot lately. He did give up four runs in four innings in his last start against Baltimore. That came before the All-Star break, so he'll make his first start after the All-Star break. And then on Wednesday, the early start, the 8 a.m. pregame show here on 97.3 The Fan, Dylan Cease will make his second start of the break. And, of course, he'll go up against Sandy Alcantara, who has not been good. Padres did face him earlier this season and got him. He's got an ERA over 7, but he's always got that, you know, Cy Young Award winner in him that you're always worried about for the final game of the series. So, yeah, the Marlins may be a sub-500 team, but you're seeing three very nasty arms in this series. I think the strategy would be continue to get good starting pitching. You know, at the worst, keep it a low-scoring game for the first five or six innings, you know, tied within a run. And then you got to find a way to beat a lesser bullpen because you'll have the bullpen advantage. Your back-end relievers are rested after a nice outing yesterday where you didn't have to use any of them. We haven't seen Robert Suarez at all, right, since the All-Star game. So he didn't pitch at all this weekend.
He's ready to go.
You didn't have to use many innings from any of your other top guys. So you're well set up bullpen-wise. But don't expect them to be taking down, you know, big leads like they did yesterday in all three games of these series, because you're facing really good starting pitching this series.
Yeah, I just saw Las Vegas thinks that the Padres are underdogs tonight.
Underdogs?
Yeah.
All right.
Saw that.
Well, we all doubt Randy Vasquez. We've done it all season.
Every year, or every outing.
Every single start, and he's gone out and found a way to battle.
He doesn't blow your hair back, but you know what to expect, honestly. It may not be the most aesthetically pleasing.
It's always the four walks, two strikeouts thing that goes, how can you be effective in Major League Baseball when you walk as many guys as you strike out, sometimes more?
He does.
But he's got this movement that just makes it like bad contact. He continues to get like, they swing and they just hit a dribbler. They just hit a ground ball right at someone. They hit a pop-up. He just gets bad contact continuously for major league hitters. So hopefully he keeps that going tonight in his first start since the All-Star break in the second half of the season. Paulie's got a Rindle report coming up in our next segment. But first, I do have some tickets to give away, and we're going to be giving away these all week. So we'll do it at different times during the show to make sure all kinds of different Tier 1s have an opportunity to win. But if you want to win tickets for Padres-Mets next Tuesday, be the fifth caller right now. Actually, let's make it the seventh caller because then we can cycle through once, so it's just not about the fastest fingers. Get a little luck involved. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Start dialing. We'll take the seventh caller. Is going to win two tickets. Padres-Mets on July 29th. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive a free Padres sandless beach towel. Visit padres.com/giveaways for more details. But, it's like that high-tech fabric that doesn't keep the sand in, so when you bring it back to your car, shouldn't have a bunch of sand on it. I hate when you have to go to the beach and then you have to go immediately to the car wash and get all the sand out of your car.
What is this, Padres broadcast right now?
I know, like Mud and Don. Like,
I saw it 69 times this weekend.
Fair enough. I kind of want one, though. I mean, hey, they do it because it's effective. We see it and then we want one. And now you have an opportunity to win one from 97.3 The Fan. It's not market science 101, like, you know, marketing 101. Show it to the people. Tell them how good it is. They're going to want it. They're going to want to go to the game and get their own tickets for the game. Effective. That's why they do it so often. All right, we'll come back. Paulie's got some Rindle Report headlines. What do you have for us, Paulie?
We got some breaking news in Major League or in the NBA.
Ooh, basketball,
and
man.
I've got just a wild, wild sports memorabilia story that did not end well.
Okay, we'll get to that coming up. Final segment of Ben and Woods without Woods, who should be back tomorrow, should be back in American airspace momentarily if he hasn't crossed already on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I just had to do something unpleasant. I had to Venmo Scraby $20 because I lost our open picks pool for golf over the weekend. Me, Woods, Ello, and Scraby have been doing a pick pool for all the majors this year. And he, of course, drafted Scotty Scheffler, which was a good pick, Matt Scraby. I was actually leading going into the final day because a couple of my guys, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton, were in the top five, which was better than just having Scotty win. But Tyrrell Hatton did not have a great day, obviously. Rory didn't have a great day on the last day, and Scotty pulled away to win, which led to a second straight victory for Matt Scraby. So congratulations to Scraby.
You hate paying anybody out.
I hate paying anybody out. And congratulations to Scotty Scheffler on his fourth major title. And now three of the four for the career Grand Slam. He will have the opportunity next year, Paulie, to win the career Grand Slam at the U.S. Open. And Sunday of the U.S. Open will also be his 30th birthday.
Wow.
A little, for, you know, way in advance. It's almost like 11 months away, but that would be quite the story on your 30th birthday to become a Grand Slam champion. And right now, it certainly seems like he's going to be the favorite every time he tees it up in a golf tournament. The guy is just a machine out there playing golf. Even more so, Tiger was more spectacular, and I think he was better overall. Obviously, won more majors, did it for longer. But right now, I don't know that anyone's been quite the machine that Scotty is. He just doesn't make almost any mistakes. Had the one ball in the bunker on the eighth hole yesterday led to a double bogey. It was like the only mistake he made all weekend. And still, it didn't cost him. He won handily. So congratulations to Scotty Scheffler. And congratulations to the winner of the Padres tickets from our last segment. Jose, thanks for calling in. I saw some people in the chat for Hollis said you answered and hung up. Yeah, you were too early. You were one of the first six callers, so you didn't make it to caller number seven.
Works,
but
man.
Guess what? We'll have more Padres-Mets tickets to give away tomorrow. All right, before we get to the round report, 1 week from today, Paulie and I are going to be out at the fourth annual Salute to Heroes Charity Golf Tournament at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. You can play if you'd like to sign up. A day of golf, food, prizes, and camaraderie, all to honor our local heroes and support veterans programs. Register for the tournament at SanDiegoSocialLeagues.org. Again, next Monday at the Loma Santa Fe Country Club, you can see celebrities including former Padre Greg Vaughn, Arabian Prince from NWA, Zab Judah, Olden Polynice, NBA World Champ, and more.
What a throwback name.
Olden Polynice.
Yeah.
Did he play for the Sonics?
He
at
did.
Some point, I feel like he did.
Yep.
When you were growing up, you probably
remember the name.
A little Olden Polynice action. And I believe we have some NBA news in our Rindle Report coming up right after our check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
All right. Happy Monday, Benjamin.
Happy Monday, Pauly.
Let's get a little started here. How about a little NBA talk? Let Basketball Ben do his thing.
Let me cook.
What?
Let me cook. Let Basketball Ben.
Yeah, I love letting Basketball Ben cook. News this morning, Chris Paul still playing in the NBA, actually. He's going back for his 21st season coming up this upcoming fall, and he is reuniting with the Los Angeles Clippers. That was announced about an hour ago by Shams Charania. 40 years old, Chris Paul is, and reportedly had multiple teams to choose from and decided he wanted to go back to a familiar spot. He's going to be playing for the Clippers, the red and blue and white. And what other colors do they have? Black.
Clippers have had a nice offseason. They did trade San Diego's
Norman Powell.
But they replaced him. They got Bradley Beal, John Collins, Brooke Lopez, and now they've added Chris Paul to the core. That includes Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Zubac, who's pretty good. My son is the Clippers fan.
I was just going to ask, your son's a Clippers
fan. Yeah, he's very excited.
You got him a really cool Clippers hat.
Throwback Mitchell and Ness. He loves that. He's been wearing it like every day.
That's so awesome.
That was a good present.
Now, in case anybody listening missed it, a few weeks ago, You had a bit of a bombshell news update when you...
given up my Lakers fandom. Yes.
You gave it up.
Yes. Doesn't mean I don't follow them and the rest of the league. They got Marcus Smart over the weekend.
I was just going to ask, does this mean you're more of a Clippers fan now, or are you just
I probably am, because for my son, I would like them to do well and make him happy. I'm not...
I
don't think I'm going to become a Clippers fan myself, but I'm certainly happy for them. I never hated the Clippers. I mean, they moved from San Diego, so I hated them for a while, but it's so long ago that that's kind of left me. I was a huge Clippers fan as a kid, but then when they left, like the Chargers, I stopped cheering for the Clippers. So, but he's a Clippers fan, and I'm okay with it now. That was many owners ago, and Clippers are becoming kind of cool. But we'll see. Lakers got Marcus Smart over the weekend. It's been a very busy offseason, as it always is in the NBA.
Yeah, sure has. We'll switch over to Major League Baseball. Did you see the scene that happened on Saturday in the Braves-Yankees game with Jazz Chisholm?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out exactly what was going on. There was suspicion that perhaps Jazz was on second base in the game and was relaying signs, giving some signals, kind of.
So he was under suspicion for doing something that is legal and allowed in Major League Baseball.
It's a weird part of the game, isn't it? It's totally legal, and yet if it happens against you, if you're the pitcher or on the field, you're very upset by it.
Correct.
We see the pitchers; they get very mad by this. So there was video from center field, and you can see Jazz is kind of like waving his right hand and trying to signal some sort of a pitch to the hitter. And then there was a scene where you could see somebody from the Braves dugout was screaming at Jazz when he was standing on third base, and Jazz was kind of throwing some hand signals at him. They were going back and forth for a while. Turns out it was assistant coach Eddie Perez for the Braves that was yelling at Chisholm, and watching on MLB Network here, they're showing the video. You can see Perez from the dugout screaming. It's a side shot, so it's hard to read any lips and know what is being said, but he's definitely pointing at his head while yelling at Jazz. So it can be interpreted a couple of different ways. One is, hey, you do that again, we're coming after your head next, AB, which is, I think, how Jazz at least took that when he was standing out on third base. Or was he saying, use your head? We don't know, but Major League Baseball is investigating what exactly went down, what exactly was being said, and it's just one of those weird situations where I don't know how pitchers should react or the defenses should react, but they get so angry. He's not cheating, though.
So I'm watching the video of what he's doing, and I mean, he's being pretty obvious about it. He wasn't really hiding. He tilts his head so he can try to look, I think, into the glove and see if he can see a grip. And then when he sees something, he does this wild flailing of his arms as a fairly obvious signal to the batter. Again, not illegal. After the game, talking to MLB.com, Perez says, I was just saying, be smart. I like that guy. He's one of my favorites. And I do think that for whatever reason, like, people want to help Jazz Chisholm be, like, really good. I don't know. It felt like Skip, I think, when he was with the Marlins, he really wanted Jazz to be good. Love Jazz. I think people love Jazz and just want to see him get the best out of his talent. I do believe Eddie Perez when he's saying, be smart about this. You know, we know you're trying to steal signs. Don't be so blatant, because when you do that, then we have problems. I don't think he meant we're going to throw at your head. I just think he meant be smart so we don't have to turn this into a whole big issue, you know, between the two teams, where someone does have to be thrown at and someone else gets thrown at and it turns into a whole mess. So just kind of be smart about it. The bottom line, though, is, and the numbers show this, if you know what's coming as a hitter, it's very, very helpful. And some guys say, I don't want to know, but the numbers are very clear. If you know the pitch that is coming, you turn like a 230 hitter into a 400 hitter.
Right.
So you're turning, like, if Tarek Skubal had to tell every single batter what pitch was coming, he would be good, but he wouldn't be Cy Young good. He'd be fairly mediocre. I mean, it's very important to know what's coming. So you've got to try to hide it. It is a big part of the game. And while it's not illegal, it's certainly something that's going to make a pitcher mad. Like, if I was the best pitcher in baseball, but I could not hide what I was throwing, I'd be pretty mad. Like, I could be one of the greatest. I could be a Hall of Famer, but they always know what's coming because I'm tipping my pitches and I can't figure out why. That would be really maddening if I was a pitcher.
Yeah. It was a weird scene on Saturday between the Braves and the Yankees because I also, if I put myself in Jazz's shoes, when he's standing at third base, you can't hear on a major league field, you can't necessarily hear what is being yelled at from the opposing dugout on the other side of the field. And if all he sees is a coach pointing at the head while yelling at him, I'd be like, oh, you're going to threaten me? You're saying you're going to throw at my head now, huh? Like, I can see why that escalated and became
probably
a
bit of a misunderstanding here,
probably.
I would guess. But
MLB is investigating, so
okay.
We'll have to wait and see. And then finally, got a really wild story out of Indiana. There is a guy named Brett Lemieux. He's a 45-year-old in Indiana, and he was the founder of a sports memorabilia website called Mr. Man Cave. And over the years, like over the last 20-plus years, his net profits have exceeded $350 million. Like, he was a big player in sports memorabilia. And I say he was because, well, he's no longer with us. He posted a long message on a Facebook group last week, basically admitting to this entire memorabilia company that I've ran is all fraud.
It's like the Bernie Madoff of sports memorabilia.
They were all fake. And I mean, some of the biggest names out there, Mahomes, Aaron Judge, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, like Tom Brady, huge names that he was selling autographed memorabilia for, and they were all fake. And he talked about how he didn't feel good about it, he didn't like doing it, but the money was too good, and he couldn't stop. So police raided two addresses in Indiana and found all of the fake memorabilia, and they found Brett Lemieux, with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He took his own life. So, and that they kind of did the timeline. He put it out on Facebook. He admitted to everything. And within a couple of hours, that's when the police showed up to raid his address and find all of the gear. And they found him as well.
It's like a Warden Norton situation from Shawshank.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly, man. And I mean, like I said, he's been doing this for over 20 years. With some of the biggest names in sports, all a ripoff. $350 million over 20 years.
I can't say I'm entirely surprised, and I would imagine it's going on quite a few other places. Because when you think about it, if you're careful about it and smart about it, top athletes sign so many autographs, so many cards, that even if you like ask them like a year later, did you sign this card?
How do they know?
How will they ever know? Yeah. Like, yeah, I signed cards just like that, and that looks kind of, I mean, it looks like my signature. I'm sure they can forge it well enough that when they're rattling off 100 signatures, can you really totally tell? I mean, maybe a handwriting expert can. I mean, I can't even tell sometimes when I look at my own signature. Was that my signature or someone else's? I've got no idea. My signature looks. I don't get signatures. And by the way,
I would imagine with technology, I could line up 10 different Ben Higgins signatures and you're like, I don't know.
They all look different. In the year 2025, that. Like, we have to, like, assign the check at the end of a dinner makes no sense to me. Are you kidding me? Like, are we going to go to court whether this is my signature or not? Because I couldn't tell you if it was my signature. It looks different every single time. So the fact that guys take advantage of it to make money and put signatures on it that are forgeries has got to be probably shockingly common in the sports memorabilia industry, which is one of the reasons why I never really wanted to get into it. Because you'll never really know, like, all right, someone says that they signed this. Someone says it's a piece of Babe Ruth's bat from whatever. How do you really know what you have?
You don't.
You can't. I mean, you can have every documentation on earth. How do you really know what you have?
Yeah, I don't buy.
A bat looks like a bat. Dirt looks like dirt. I don't get it.
I've only bought one piece of autographed memorabilia online, and at that point, you know, I didn't spend a ton of money on it, and it comes with the letter of authenticity, and you're just honestly, for your own peace of mind, you're just assuming that that letter is legitimate, and you're saying, I've got it. But unless you got it from the athlete in person, and you were like, you know what I mean? You never really know.
To me, those are the only things that are truly meaningful, is when you were there, you got it signed, and you keep it yourself. Because once you sell it or give it to someone else, they can never really know because they weren't there. But if you saw an athlete sign it for you, you've got that personally. It's your own memory.
Yeah.
Beyond that, once it leaves the room, and you know that, then it's totally, you can never be sure.
But just because you buy something on eBay and it says, oh, it's got the letter of authenticity. I mean, again, there are a couple of very reputable companies out there where you could probably trust them. Like, they'll tell you, like, no, he was in our store and signed this.
I know that there are reputable companies, and I know they absolutely do their best, but they also acquire things from other places. And when that happens, they can never be 100% sure.
All they can do is, they can do...
Because this guy, from all reports, was very reputable until...
Until he wasn't.
Until he wasn't.
Right.
And he was dead. Buyer beware when it comes to memorabilia, sports and otherwise. But if you're just doing it for your own and it makes you happy, yeah, go for it. I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just saying it's one of the reasons why I've always been hesitant to get into that sort of thing. Because if I wasn't the one who got it, how can you ever really know?
I know.
That item is truly authentic.
I think you just got to go, and if you want it, then you just believe that it's true.
Yeah. All right, Paulie, good job. 3 days, sans Woods, but he will be back, according to all reports, and his flight logger and himself on the chat today, tomorrow morning, and I believe he's got some good stories to share with us. We know a couple of them, but
I'm not planning tomorrow, and I don't think you should either.
Be there for foreplay at 6 a.m. tomorrow to start at least scratching the surface of Woods' trip to Manchester, England. Thanks to all of our guests today. Paulie Reindl, great job as always. Braden is coming up next. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.